This is an exciting Sunday, as I've shared. There's many things going on. I want to go over a few very quick announcements and things like that, just so you're up to date on things. Immediately after church today, we have our baptism, followed by our potluck communion lunch. Jesus shared communion around a table with his disciples, and we believe as a church it's a great way to get to know one another, is to stick around, enjoy lunch together, share a lunch together, a meal together after church. We also have our Awana program. Approved workmen are not ashamed, 2 Timothy 2:15. That program has been underway for 2 weeks now, and we have a little store that we are raising money for. As the young people from our primary age for the store is our Sparks and our TNT, which is our group right there in the elementary school age bracket. As they bring their Bibles, memorize their verses, show up on time, bring friends, they get a little Awana dollars, and they can trade those in every in December and then in April at a store. And so we're raising money for that store. If you want to donate money into the store, just put the check in the giving box there, and in the memo line, just put Awana store on that. I want to also highlight our children's ministry as a whole. Typically, we dismiss our boys and girls at around this time, but on our third Sundays and our communion Sundays, we like to have all of our children with us and everything else. But boys and girls, you are working on memorizing, right? We've been preaching out of 1 John. Today's verse, if you're memorizing one verse a week, today's verse is 1 John 1:9, okay? So we're going to have a race. Wherever you're sitting, you don't need to come up front, but wherever you're sitting, boys and girls, hold your Bibles up real high and tall. Hold your Bibles up, get them. Nobody's got Bibles? I don't know. They got their hands up. That's good. That's good. Where's the Bibles at? We got to bring your Bible to church, boys and girls. And parents, you bring your phones to church, and the kids don't know how to bring a Bible to church, so bring your real Bibles, okay? all right, so when I say go, you are going to flip to 1 John 1:9. Whoever finds it first, stand up and read it loud and proud, okay? Everybody say 1 John 1:9. Good and loud, good and loud. Better than that. Come on. Those girls are saying it. Good. Okay, go. Go. 1 John 1:9. Who can find it first? We need to play the Jeopardy music in the background, guys. Can you make that a thing? Keep flipping, kids. We have a light day today. Good job, good job. All right, so we are memorizing this, and we have been working on this. This is 1 John 1:5 through 10. Each week we're adding a new verse to it. Or you could do it, I say this, I don't know if anybody's taken me up on it yet, but if it's six verses. So if you do a verse a day for 6 days, on the seventh day you review it, you could memorize this whole thing in 1 week. Or you could take 6 weeks to do it, and that's kind of the track that we're on. But 1 John 1:9 is a core verse, okay? If you confess your sins, I talked about this in some ministry meeting this week. It doesn't say he might forgive your sins, or he might cleanse you from all unrighteousness, or he'll forgive some of them and cleanse you from some of them. It's just this blanket statement. Confess your sins in the name of Jesus, and he will forgive. He is faithful and just. He is faithful and righteous to forgive. Okay? So boys and girls, keep working on that. Memorize that. Study that. Commit that to your hearts and minds, and then next week we'll add the last verse and see if anybody can have the whole thing done next week. We'll see. We'll give you next week and the following to try to get them all done. But see if you can get that done, okay? All right, praise the Lord. And now we're going to move to another announcement. This one is less, it's a bittersweet one. But Trish, can you come on up here, please? Trish Groh. Trisha has been with us since, I think, our opening Sunday of our church 9 years ago, which was a very humbling thing when we opened our church out of Gettysburg Foursquare, and so we had these meetings all summer long, every other week and so on, meeting over in the Roccos and the fire company, and just kind of meeting where was available. And then we had our official launching Sunday was a big tent out behind this building. We knew God was going to give us this building, it just wasn't available yet. So we pitched a huge tent out there, advertised it around the community. And Tricia showed up, and a few others who were still here showed up, and many others came kind of for opening day or whatever. But that was 9 years ago, third Sunday of September. And Tricia's been with us ever since. A huge, huge blessing. But this is the sad part. You moved. You don't live in York Springs anymore. So I want to commission and bless Trish. She has moved up to Enola. It's just too long of a drive to be commuting on a Sunday and to still be involved in the various church activities and stuff. So we love you, Trish. We're going to miss you. But you're going as a believer. You found a new church there. And church family, you may know her well. You may have known her for years. Or you may have just briefly interacted here and there. But this is a bittersweet moment to say goodbye, but with a blessing. And so this is Jesus' last words, and there's nothing better to go with than this. But Jesus came up, spoke to them, the disciples, saying, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey and observe all that I've commanded you. And I'll be with you until the end of the age." It's a great promise from the Lord. And so, Tricia, we're commissioning you as a missionary. We're saying goodbye, but we're giving you a blessing to go and continue being a missionary in your new neighborhood and in your new church. Is there anything you would like to share with us or any of that? I figured, yep.
I just want to say I've been so blessed, more than I can say, by this church. Jesus does transform. Jesus transformed this church where we were going from a tent to here and there and everywhere until he finally gave us this home. And Jesus transformed me from a person who was just saddled by shame and was able to overcome that with his strength to someone who can speak in front of just about anybody without any fear. And that's a gift he gave me. And he's now given me this new community and a new home where I feel safe and peace, and a new church that has welcomed me with open arms. And I will miss all of you, and have an open welcome that you can always come visit. If you're going to be coming to Enola, just give me a heads up, and you're welcome to come visit me. I'm sure I'll come visit you guys every so often. But I have a servant's heart. I was blessed to be able to serve in this church over and over again. And moving so far away, I'm not able to. So I'm praying that God does show me how he would like me to serve this community and my new church. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. See you, Savior. So when I first met Trish, like I said, it was opening Sunday. It was 9 years ago. And Trish, you walked with a cane, mm-hmm. recovering from some bad brain cancer, and the treatments were debilitating. Would you have even been able to hold that microphone at that point the way you did up to here?
No. Yep. Jesus healed me. There's no medical explanation for what God transformed in my body. I had brain surgery in 2013 and had to learn how to do everything all over again. And then that left me from graduating from a wheelchair to a walker. 3 months took me to do that. And then God persevered in my life. So I graduated from a walker to a cane for 14 years. I was unable to work. I was disabled. I was receiving Social Security. And 3 years ago, God healed my... And I'm now working full-time. I don't receive Social Security anymore. And I'm able to help others in my community, people with disabilities. And God really has blessed me by being able to share with them from a perspective of somebody who had a disability. So I'm able to really connect with them in a way that really nobody else can. at that job, because I kind of understand the struggles that they're going through.
It's a testament to God's goodness to even see that happening over 9 years, and it's amazing. Church, if you some of you have gotten to know Tricia very well, come on up here. I want to pray over her as a blessing, as many as can. I don't know if we'll all be able to crowd around or not, but if you've gotten to know her, if you've been involved in her life, or she's been a blessing in yours in whatever way, come on up here. All right, let's pray. Lord Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your great grace in Trisha's life. Just in the 9 years we as a church have known her, but we know long before that, as she was coming to faith and moving around and struggling and facing the cancer and the treatments and the many complications and side effects that have come out of that. But Lord, we also have seen your hand of grace on her, your hand of courage on her, to transform her from wheelchair to cane, to unable to move an arm, to now walking, moving an arm freely, and able to move and serve in the church so well for so long. Lord, we give you praise for your goodness that's been on display in her. And Lord, we love her, we miss her, and we know you love her, and we know she's in your hands. So Lord, we give her, we send her and commission her as a blessing to her new community that she's moved into. And Lord, we pray that we would be faithful to you. Lord, we pray that she would be faithful to you. Lord, we thank you for our phones and our ability to stay connected so easily. Mm-hmm. Thank you that she's not that far away anyway. Lord, we thank you that there are faithful churches all over the place. And Lord, that she can get involved in there too. So Lord, be glorified. Bless her as she goes. Lord, bless us as we miss her and she there's mm-hmm. some gaps to fill. So Lord, we do all this for your glory. We trust in you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. All right, church. I want to introduce Scott Reichenbach here. Scott is the director, the founder of Hope Walks Ministries. Am I standing? Should I move? Or that was Scott. Okay, you've been introduced now. But you may not know this. I think probably most of us do. But this is the floor map of the top floor of our church. This is where we're sitting right now. This is our big sanctuary right here. Our children's wing is back here. We have more children's space now. But Scott and Hope Walks have moved into, if you go down the hall past where the bathrooms are, you're here now. You go out and go to the bathroom. If you keep going, you know the hall takes that bend. We got the double doors here. And this new wing right here, this is Hope Walks space. This space right here is shared. They do most of the sharing. We do most of the receiving. Thank you, Scott. It's a blessing. Our youth group has moved in there. But this space is their offices, their international headquarters of Hope Walks Ministries. And I have a scripture here. This is not a core scripture for them, but it does tie in. That song we sang today, Jesus Christ, My Living Hope, it really ties together. But 1 Peter 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." That's a good baptism verse as well. But Hope Walks is a Christian missionary agency that does medical ministry, and Scott found it. Scott, come on up here and let me pray over you, and I'll give you the floor to share what God's given you. Lord Jesus, Lord, we thank you for Scott, for what you have done in his life to found and organize and coordinate this international missionary group. Lord, we thank you that they've moved in right down the hall from us, and it's such a joy, such an honor to be partners together in this little building. So, Lord, be glorified here. Lord, I pray that you would show us as a church what you are doing way beyond our borders, Lord, and what you have been doing. Lord, expand our imaginations, expand our vision of your great kingdom, and, Lord, continue to bless Scott and the Hope Walks missionaries in all that they're doing for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, Scott.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for letting us share your space. It's been a tremendous blessing. Prior to moving here, we were renting a couple bedrooms in an old farmhouse in Dillsburg that was housed by that. It was another organization called Forgotten Voices. I don't know if you're familiar with them, but they graciously gave us two bedrooms upstairs. And so we just grew to 2-3 people in a bedroom and tried to make things go. So it's awesome to have our own space here in York Springs. The commute's a little bit longer, but the space is awesome. So thank you so much. So I want to jump right in, and uneducated and ordinary. I think that sort of, just tap this. So I want to jump into Acts 4:13, and I sort of feel like this could be a bit of my life verse, or I'd love it to be my life verse, right? If you go to Acts 4, verse 13, it says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary, they were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus. And that just is amazing to me. I mean, when you think of who Peter and John were, I mean, this is Acts 4. So just a few chapters before, Peter had denied Jesus, right? And so, you know, they're fishermen. Ordinary men. And so as I think of, and just a bit of my own testimony in all of this, you know, as Tyler shared, you know, we started this Hope Walks thing back in 2018. And I never set out to start an organization. As we had our open house a few weeks ago, and I don't know if many of you were able to attend, but my parents came over from Philadelphia to be a part of it. And we stood there as there were 90 people in our few little rooms. We had two TV stations show up. We had the Gettysburg Times show up. I asked my parents, I'm like, did you ever expect that your son would grow up to do something like this? And they laughed. And my mom, she loves to tell the story that when I was a little kid, she said, I wanted to be the fire siren. I didn't want to be the fireman or driving a fire truck. I wanted to be the fire siren. She said, I used to run around the house making fire siren noises. You know, if there's a fire in a house, I'm running out. I'm not running in. And so to see what God has done through men and women around the world that has made this Hope Walks thing go is really pretty incredible. And so I take tremendous courage in this. You know, I was born and raised in a Christian home. My parents had missionaries in quite often. I went to a Christian university. I went to school to be a nurse. It was 4 years of school, and I was out and I had a job. I went into pediatrics. You got to play with kids. You know, it was like, hey, let's help these kids get better. And then I get to sit and play Nintendo with them. Back, I'm old, so we didn't have the PS whatevers. We had Nintendo, but we get to play Nintendo in the hospital ward. And so I take great courage in the verses in scripture that talk about, you know, you need to be like a little child. Have faith like a child to just trust what God has done in your life. And so, you know, as I look at what God has done through Hope Walks and through this organization, it's amazing as you look into Scripture. And if you go back, if you turn back or swipe back or whatever you've got, go back to chapter 3 here, and we will read chapter 3, verse 1. It says, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. So they were doing their normal thing, right? They were coming to temple like you guys did this morning, coming into church. You know, and it was at 3:00 p.m. Now a man crippled from birth was being carried from the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going in the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging in the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. And so, oops, let me go here. Do you think maybe this is what that guy's feet look like? If you read there, his feet and ankles became strong. My guess, though, is he probably didn't have the same smile that this gentleman had. He probably, oops, there you go, looked more like this little one. Ashamed, knees from swollen, scarred from not being able to walk. As I read this and as I looked at some other things, someone pointed out that this, later on in the passage, it'll go on to say that that man had been that way for 40 years. Okay, again, think of where we are. We're in the beginning of Acts. 40 years prior to that, Jesus was walking on this earth. How many times had Jesus walked by that man and not healed that man? Right? So my guess is that man probably had a face like this little girl. Downcast. You can see the weight of this. I like to believe this man had club foot. You know, the weight and burden of this, not more than just the disability now, there was shame and stigma from this, left to sit and beg. You look at this girl, look how strong her hands are. She just paddles herself along. So here is this man sitting at Temple Gate Beautiful. You know, Peter and John walk by, and all they have to do is raise up his hand and say, "Walk." And the feet and ankles become strong. I can't wait to get to heaven to find out if that man had club foot. But my guess is that that is what, I'll figure this out here. Yeah, that this is what this person had. And it's just, it's so interesting to see, you know, he walked, jumped, leapt, praised God, and then around him, people were filled with amazement at what God had done. And so for us, and what we get to do is we get to work with these kids who are born with club foot. And it's a lot like it says in John 9. You know, as Jesus passed by, another really famous story that we often read about, and I don't know if we think so much about it, right? But as Jesus passed by, he saw a blind man from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he'd be born blind?" Today in our clubfoot clinics around the world, we get that same question. These families are posed with that same question. Who sinned that this little baby would be born with feet like that? What did mom do? It's often they point at the mom. What did the mom do? What did this family do that they would have a baby that would have a deformity like this? And Jesus answered, it was neither this man that sinned or his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. And so that's Hope Walks. That is what we do. That is our mission. It's our mission to use ordinary men. You know, we're relatively unschooled. I think it's important to realize in that passage when he talks about unschooled, this was the Sanhedrin calling these men unschooled. So they weren't religiously schooled. But our mission is to bring glory to God, right? To provide freedom for these children and families, that they can walk free from the disability, the shame, the stigma, the economic burden of being born with a very treatable disability called club foot. So club foot happens 1 in every 800 births. Someone is born with club foot. Here in Pennsylvania, here in the U.S., around the world, every 3 minutes a child is born with club foot somewhere. Sometimes 1 foot, sometimes 2 feet. We don't know exactly why it happens. There's a doctor in Florida that has identified a gene that he believes causes it, but why does it happen in one and not the other? Why does it happen more in boys and girls? We don't know any of that, but we are able to treat it. And with simple casts, you take those crooked feet and week after week put a cast on them, and within 2 months, 6 to 8 weeks typically, those feet will be straight. And once they're straight, they wear a little boots and bars, we call it, and that just maintains correction. They'll sleep in that those boots and bars, and then during the day wear their sneakers and run around. But they'll wear that boots and bars for about 4 to 5 years. And then the feet look beautiful. If you've had braces, you have the braces on, you take the braces off, you need to wear a retainer. This is your retainer for your feet. So it's a very important step that a lot of the responsibility falls to the parents to put on the brace every night. But this is the same treatment. If you have a child born with clubfoot today here in the US, this is what they'll do. You'll go over to Hershey or down to Hopkins or to Baltimore or wherever you go, they'll cast your feet, and within 2 months your feet will be straight. But this is why we don't see it here, right? You think how many, you're diagnosed in utero. So at the 20-week ultrasound, when they're telling you it's a boy or a girl, they're also telling you your baby's gonna have club foot. You'll begin that journey to figure out what that process is like. You'll have your baby, and then you'll begin treatment. But by the time your baby's 2 months old, their feet are straight. So you think a lot of babies don't show up in church for the first couple months of life, or if they do, they're in a car carrier with a blanket over their legs and you don't ever see it. An amazing opportunity. I was talking in, I wasn't. We had one of our gentlemen from Niger was in speaking in a church in Philadelphia. And a gentleman came up to me after the service and he's like, oh, well, my son was born with clubfoot. And you know, I figured he'd be like 12 years old, whatever. And he's like, no, he's here. He was born with club foot. And sure enough, in the back was a little baby in a car carrier with a blanket over his legs with casts on his legs. Nobody in the church knew about it. It was just amazing. Like, it's never happened before that there's actually been a little baby with casts on their feet. But that's why we don't see it. This happens at the same rate as cleft lip and palate does. But cleft lip and palate causes that little scar on your face that a lot of people can see. People with club foot, they might walk a little funny. You're not gonna be like, why do you walk that way? But so it's pretty hidden. But for kids in Africa, you don't have the ultrasound. You're excited. You're giving your husband a baby. And that's, sadly say, that's the role of a woman in Africa still today, is predominantly to grow a family, to be fruitful and multiply. And you have a baby, and your baby comes with feet like that, there is a lot of shame. That joyous occasion is now filled with, what did I do? What did our family do? What am I going to do? I live in a rural village. That, in their mind, and even in a lot of our minds, needs surgery. I'm poor, I can't afford it. It's going to be their lot in life. And so many times it just gets ignored. Sometimes it gets hidden. Moms know that if my in-laws find out about it, my husband might be encouraged to go find another wife that doesn't give him disabled children. And so it gets really complicated really fast. What are you going to do? And so we get the amazing privilege to walk along with these families, meet these moms, give them hope. Hey, simple cast. Within 2 months, your feet are straight. The beautiful thing is every week, we get to meet them again. And then you get to take the cast off, and they get to see a little bit of movement and a little bit of movement. And week three is a pretty big week. You get to see. It's where a lot of families get sort of that aha moment. They all of a sudden see those feet really making some significant change. And so this is what our clinics look like. Hope this doesn't look like your doctor's office. It might. But this is our clinic in DRC Congo. And actually, I should say it's a partner clinic. So step back 2 seconds and just say that Hope Walks doesn't have buildings. We don't have hospitals. We don't have buildings around the world. We work through local existing healthcare centers. So this is Heal Africa is the name of the hospital in Goma. It's Eastern DRC Congo. So it's Central Africa. It's almost right square in the middle of the continent of Africa. This is a clubfoot clinic. Clubfoot clinics happen one day a week. So, and it's amazing. Again, we just get to live out the gospel, right? When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. You know, every 3 minutes, a child's born with clubfoot. There's 20,000 kids born every single year in the 15 countries where we work. So there's lots of kids. So we get to come into this, all these moms with newborn babies who have feet that are crooked, to moms who are in the kids are in casting, to kids that are embracing, to the three-year-old that's tearing around the place on straight feet, running around like nothing ever happened. And so now these moms get to help each other and encourage one another and share the hope. You know, my baby's feet look like that, and now he's walking and running. So this happens. We work with 170 hospitals, so this happens every single day somewhere around the world where we work. And so as we talk about an international organization who supports medical work around the world, we don't have American missionaries on the field. We teach and train local healthcare providers. So this is actually in Honduras. So this is our partner in the green shirt teaching and training the Honduran medical community how to take care of clubfoot. They know how to do this stuff. Like, we just need to teach them and show them. It's a bit of an art process. And so we can teach and train mid-level providers how to do this to avoid this thing called clubfoot being neglected and needing surgery later in life. If we can find them as babies, the treatment is really quite straightforward and quite simple. So here we are, teaching and training local healthcare providers working within the local healthcare system that's there, where the babies are born, where the people live. By building our own center means people have to come a long distance. This way, we today have 170. Our goal by the end of the next fiscal year is to be up over 190 clinics around the world so that kids can get to care more easily. Now imagine being born here, having a child born here, and being told you got to get to Hershey, but you don't have a car. You know, for most of our family, and it's another video you can look. We did a video of a family in Burundi. They live 60 miles from the clubfoot clinic. The mom had a seizure disorder, so the mom was afraid to carry the baby. So the mom asked a 14-year-old sister to carry the baby to the city to find clubfoot care, 60 miles away. So imagine being here, no car, you walk to Route 15, you thumb a ride into Harrisburg, maybe into Hershey. Imagine sending your 14-year-old daughter with your newborn baby to do that. It's an amazing video. So we can show that another time. We got a lot, there's just incredible stories of this journey towards treatment for these families. But then when the families arrive, because we're working with the local healthcare system, we don't really get a say in the faith background of the healthcare providers that are working there. We work in Sudan, we work in Niger, we work in Burkina Faso, predominantly Muslim countries. And so we teach and train Muslims. But we work with the local church. Each of these places has a local church. Might be a little home church, might be a bigger church, might just be a believer in that community who attends a church somewhere else. But we work with the local church then to welcome these moms, love them, care for them, make sure they show up at clinic every week, and journey with this family towards freedom from clubfoot. So again, ordinary men and women who give a day a week to come and be in this clubfoot clinic. This picture is powerful for me. This is my first trip to Africa doing the clubfoot thing. And this is in Mekele, Ethiopia. So for those of you who are aware of global politics, Ethiopia has had some war over the last couple years. The headquarters of the unrest was in this town called Mekelle. And so we were in Mekelle, this is a number of years ago, and this mom has the blue paper in her hand. Mom, I wish I had asked her how old she was. She was young. And that's grandma holding the baby, and in grandma's arms is this little baby, and you can see the feet. Beautiful newborn little baby with crooked feet. And the lady in the striped shirt is our parent advisor. We call them parent advisors. They're hospital chaplains, what we would know here as social workers. Well, he just walks with mom, helps mom figure out transportation. Sometimes there's community issues. Can we go into the community and educate the community that it's not anything that mom did, but for us, it's a way that God can be glorified. And so this day, that parent advisor in the striped shirt just sat on that bench outside, arm around mom, as mom just wept. Grandma took the baby in as the baby got its casts. It was amazing. I mean, it's what we want to see in our parent advisors, just showing love to this mom. Next week, mom will come back, get those casts off, and they'll slowly see those feet straighten. But so that's the role. So Hope Walks. That is our employee. That is our missionary here. It's a local believer from Mekelle, sharing the love of Jesus with the families that we get to serve every year. Last year, we were able to touch 8,300 new kids came to our clinics. So again, I said there's 20,000. We treated 8,000. So we got a long way to go to get every kid born with club foot. Our goal this year is to get over 9,000 new kids. You can see this is where we currently work around Africa, as God has opened doors and opportunities for us to continue to serve, to be a light of Christ in these countries. And our vision is that it will be like it is here in the U.S. You'll have your baby, care will be told to you right away, you'll get treatment, and your kid will walk free. It's Sunday, it's football day, right? Football season upon us. A lot of you guys will know the name Troy Aikman. If you're a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, you might know the name Charles Woodson. If you're a golfer, you'll know the name John Rahm. Soccer player, Mia Hamm. All those people were born with club foot. And they all had treatment. They all did pretty well for themselves. So this is our vision, that across these countries, every kid born will have access to club foot care. It's exciting to say that in Rwanda this last year, we believe we treated 90% of the kids born with club foot. So we have a new data system that every kid coming in is entered into an electronic health record, and so we can track how old all the kids are, and just with doing some numbers and birth populations and things like that, we figure that close to 90% of those kids were born that were taken care of. In Niger, in Sudan, we're down in the 20 range, 20% of kids born. So we've got a long way to go in a lot of places. But it's provided an amazing opportunity to be able to share the goodness of God with these kids. And so I don't want to lose this story here in Acts, right? Like Peter and John heal this man. But if you go on to read the rest of this story, Peter and John end up in jail for healing this man. You look at the beginning, night came, in the beginning of chapter 4, night comes, and so they throw him in jail. For what? It's an amazing passage. You'll have to go back and read these two chapters of what this story of Peter and John healing a man at the temple gets them in jail. And I think it's just really amazing. And so if I just want to jump, so I sort of read the beginning of the story, I'll let you read the middle about them being called before the Sanhedrin, spending a night in jail. But then if we go to Acts 4, and let me just read. I just feel like God's word says it better than I can say it. But Acts 4, verse 13. It says, when they saw the courage of Peter and John, and this is what I read before, and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, There was nothing they could say. So they ordered them to withdraw from the Sanhedrin, and they convened together. "What are we going to do with these men?" they ask. "Everybody living in Jerusalem knows that they have done an outstanding miracle, and we cannot deny it." This is the these families come back as a testimony to what God has done. They see the, you saw the baby with the crooked feet. Now look at the feet. They're walking and running and playing. So, but the Sanhedrin went on. "But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn these men to speak no longer to anyone in his name or in this name." Then they called them in again and commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. And this, I think, is the lesson for me and what I want to encourage you, that these ordinary, unschooled men, that Peter and John replied, they had such amazing conviction, amazing boldness. They replied, "Judge for yourself whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." After further threats, they let them go, and they could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For this man, who was miraculously healed, was over 40 years old. So again, just thinking back to that man who had been there with Jesus, not healed, God had a plan, right? You wonder, like, in his mind, no, I'm not going to do anything here because something bigger is going to happen later on. And so through these fishermen who had denied Jesus, now had been with Jesus, had Jesus living in them, the power of the Holy Spirit to transform Peter, to give him the boldness to speak before these people about the hope that he had in Christ and about who Christ was to the Sanhedrin. And so this is what we're trying to do. A nurse from Pennsylvania trying to help these kids around the world, empowering our local staff, local believers, to be Christ in their community. And so in Sudan, in Burkina Faso, in Niger, again, predominantly Muslim communities, please pray for our staff. They're men and women coming into these clinics in Niger. It's amazing. I was in Niger earlier this year, and they're pastors, and they're known as pastor in the clinics. They have this boldness to be able to share it. And so as we go, just please pray for our team, pray for our staff, you know, that as we get to, this is little Ferris in Ethiopia. I love this picture. That was Ferris one fall and then Ferris the next summer. Just we get to share the hope with these families. Just pray for our team. You can pay it forward. That's what we're doing. We really cover the cost for these families. Our families don't pay anything. It's really interesting. We've only been around a few years, but we have so many amazing stories of God's provision for us. In 2019, end of 2019, December of 2019, we had a donor come to us and say, "Hey, I want to help your families get transportation to and from the clinic." We had never really done that. We didn't have the resources to do it. Our staff had been telling us that transportation is a big issue. You know, am I going to put food on the table or am I going to go to the hospital? And so he said, "I want to give you money for transportation." Well, we all know what happened a few months later as COVID hit. And as COVID shut everything down, in Africa, if you've ever been to Africa, they take a 20-seat bus and they put 50 people in it. They pack them full, stuff you in as wherever you can fit. Well, when COVID happened, the government cracked down on these bus transporters and said, you can no longer stuff them full, you can only put 20 people in it. Well, the bus drivers, they're good businessmen. Well, if you're only going to let me put 20 people in, I'll just double my rate so I can make the same amount of money. Well, if you're a poor family, now that you couldn't afford it when there were 50 people on that bus, you're certainly not going to do it when there's double the price. But God had provided this donor a few months earlier who said, I want to provide transportation for your family. So it was amazing just to see God provide. So, you know, just lots of opportunities of how God takes care of these kids and allows us to share the gospel. Another fun thing you can do, I made it the three P's, pray, parent, paint. You see the kid on the bottom there with those cool little braces. So every kid does get a pair of braces. You can paint those braces for us. So typically, historically, we've got them out as boring brown or black leather. And what we thought was, children's hospitals here are bright and fun. And how about we take these boring brown or black leathers and let people here paint them? So you can paint them. We've got little paint pens. You can color them up and we'll send them over there. And then you'll get a picture of, hey, here's your artwork on a brace for a kid. And we're trying to get more and more photos of kids actually wearing your braces. Challenges is getting these braces over a lot of clinics. It takes a long time to get them back. And you need a kid who needs a size 5 that you painted at your clinic. So, but anyway, they're all numbered. And so if we do come up with that kid, we can track you down. And Uprise Music Festival happened this weekend. Last year at Uprise, we painted braces for Rwanda. And just this week, we got two pictures from Rwanda of kids wearing braces that were painted at Uprise last year. So it took a year, but it was amazing to be able to call the people who painted them and be like, hey, we just met your kid that got your brace. So it's another way for you very practically to get involved, just to shine the light of Christ in these communities and encourage these families. So I want to end. I picked one video. I feel like there's a lot. You can go to our Hope Walks YouTube page, and you can watch a bunch of videos of stories that have happened around the world. But that gentleman that I showed you at the outset, with the big smile on his face, here's a little bit of his family's story. And I guess I can do that here. And if I tap it again, you should be able to watch it. But just real quick, before this goes, just I encourage you all as ordinary men who have been and women who have been with Jesus, let's live it out in our communities and wherever God has us. And you can watch.
Clapwood has no known cause, but it has some hereditary traits. So it could happen that if a family person had clapwood, you could at some point see a child born in the family with clapwood.
But then it's not in all cases where you'll find clapwood being hereditary. Most of the cases we see, there is no known cause to what caused the clapwood.
Majina yangu ni John Mwangi. Kwa jumla niko na watoto wanane na waliokuwa na shida ya kufuti klabu ni watatu. Wakati napata watoto wako na shida ya aina hiyo, huwa nahuzunika sana kwa moyo. Kwa sababu nakumbuka kuhusu usafiri wa kutoka hapa kwenda hospitali. Kuna mtu wako na shida ya foot club ambaye ni ndugu ya baba ya mke wangu. Yeye maisha yake huwa ni ngumu kwa sababu katika usafiri huwa anasafiri kwa shida sana.
Coming from this village, because of the many hills and the many valleys, it would be very difficult for someone with untreated clubfoot to be able to live here and even walk through the tough terrain. The oldest child who was born with clubfoot went for treatment in another clinic, but with very limited success. The other two who were born with clubfoot were able to access the Hope Walks clinics in Kenya, and they were able to undergo successful treatment. The youngest child born with clubfoot, Samuel, is fetal, straight, and he's now on the bracing stage.
So the most challenging part of clubfoot treatment is actually the bracing phase. So the parents have a lot more responsibility towards ensuring that there is no relapse.
Pastor Robert is one of our parent advisors. He would call the family to make sure that they were doing well at home and even call them to remind them of their next treatment date.
Even though they come from difficult places and areas and difficult lifestyle, they need also to have their children treated. We have prayer together and encourage them that their children are going to be okay.
The reason why HopeWorks does the work it does is because we want to give hopes to the children born with clubfoot and their families and their communities, because at the end of the day, this is a disability that can be treated. The children don't need to end up disabled, and we also want to share the love of God to everyone.
Asante sana, Mungu abarikie kwa kumsaidia. Amsaidia mtoto wangu sana.
Kwanza mimi ningewashukuru sana Foot Club na wale wote ambao wamejumuika katika hiyo mambo ya kusaidia hiyo matibabu. Wote ningewashukuru kwa ujumla, kwa sababu hiyo ni kazi nzuri sana wametufanyia, kwa sababu hatungekuwa na uwezo kama huo sisi wenyewe, ila tu wao wametusaidia.
Hey, thank you, Scott. Church, let's pray over this. This is amazing. Lord Jesus, Lord, we thank you that you are healing these little ones all over the world of clubfoot. Lord, we thank you that your great power, your good works can be displayed in these situations. Lord, we thank you for this team, for Scott founding it, and the so many help and work that's gone into it, Lord, for humility to point out, hey, we're just unschooled ordinary men. It's the grace of God. Lord, we thank you for this. Lord, we pray that their goal, they I think you said 8,000 last year were healed of this, and the goal is 9,000 this year. Lord, we pray that this would be eradicated, that every single person around the world in the name of Jesus would have access to this one day. Lord, we give you praise. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to partner, to be right down the hall, to see this happening right in our small little neighborhood here as a headquarters for it. Lord, we thank you for this. And Lord, we pray that we as your people, Lord, that we'd be faithful to you in every opportunity that you give us. We know that you have given us all different giftings and different purposes and callings. And Lord, we pray that we would walk out, live out for your glory, every purpose that you've given each of us. Lord, we know that some are called to go overseas, some are called to find jobs or to bring jobs to this community. Lord, we know that you've given us many tasks, and we pray that we'd be faithful in them. Lord, build up Scott, build up Hope Walks, strengthen their networks, their partnerships, their medical partnerships, their church partnerships. Lord, in every nation that they currently operate and in all the other ones that do not have anything like this yet, Lord, we put in your hands, and we trust you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So, church, we're gonna do our communion lunch here in just a minute. Many things going on today, but get to know Scott. If part of this really spoke to you, and something jumped out off the page at you, and said, "Man, I got to find out more," talk to Scott. He's going to be here. You can give directly to Hope Walks. You can give to the church, and our missions ministry funds them as well in different ways. There's many ways to be part of this. We'll have an opportunity to do some of those casts and everything else too. And you know, I'm just thinking out loud. I can't promise you this, but I'm hoping maybe we can get some of those videos playing on a TV loop during our lunch today. We'll see what we can pull together for that. But praise the Lord, and let's take a minute of downtime here. Scotty is going to be getting baptized over here in just a minute, after the baptism, we'll go over and do lunch. But give us just a minute here to make sure we're all squared away and ready. And Scotty's not able to climb in the pool this time, so we might need a couple of you. He's if you met Scotty, you know he's walking on canes and stuff. So we're gonna need a little bit of help to get him in and out and everything else. But give me just a minute here, and we'll gather right over there for the baptistry in another minute or two. All right. Praise the Lord.